All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we have a beautiful daf in front of us today. Today's daf is Ayin Zayin 77. We are picking up on Ayin Vav on the days 76B. Two lines up from the bottom. Ki haza amar Rava. As Rava had mentioned, so we'll say, I just want to also point out, in yesterday's daf, I reversed the shitos of Rabbi Dosa and the Rabbanon. It's going to come up again today. I was going to record this piece again yesterday, but I figured we'll just review it again today. So again, I'm just pointing that out to you. I will correct it because they're going to come up again in just a few moments about how to pass on a loss ultimately again to workers. But remember again, in the event that my workers cancel out on me and I have to go ahead and hire new workers, but it's more expensive to hire new workers, who bears that loss? So yesterday I said, Rabbi Dosa says that the owner absorbs it, and the Rabbanan say that the workers absorb, but we see it's actually reversed. Rabbi Dosa says that you pass that on to the workers, because we'll see Yadam ala tahtona, whereas the Rabbanan say that ultimately it's absorbed by the owner. So again, you don't have to remember that now, but I just wanted to correct it first thing, and we'll see it later on. Says the Gemara, Kedam Rava, Hayman da agar agiri lirifka. We'll say if there was an individual who hired workers to dig a ditch. This is a very interesting case. I hired workers to dig a ditch, and then what happens? That night, so they were supposed to show up Monday morning to dig the ditch. What happened? That night, it rains, and the ditch fills with water. So what happens? If at the end of the day I showed them the field the night before, top of Ayin Zayin, then Pesida de Paulin. Then ultimately, this is the loss of the workers. Look at Rashi. Psida de Paulim. Gishamim sheyardu hefsed Paulim hu. De lo yarv lehu midi de amr lehu mazaychu garam. So we'll say, if I showed the workers the field the night before. So they saw the field. They also realized that it rained. And therefore what? And therefore they realized that such a field was not going to be workable in the event that it rained. So when we say psida de Paulim, means the owner is not obligated to pay the workers for anything. If on the other hand, lo sayre la are mi'arta, if on the other hand, the owner of the field did not show the workers the field the night before, then psida de balabais. Then ultimately, again, the loss is borne by the balabas. Now, what does that mean? The loss is borne by the balabas. Look at Rashi. Lo sayre mi'arta psida de balabais. Bless you. Do amrile miyemar da'adaita dahu ara agarti. So here's the difference. You know, what's interesting to note is there are certain fields that could be worked even if it rained, and there are other fields that can't be worked if it rained. So what the Gemara is saying is the following. If the Balabas showed the workers the corrective field that they were supposed to work the night before, then they should have taken note of the field, and they should have realized that when it rained, it was going to be unworkable. If they showed up the next morning, the Balabas has no responsibility for them. If, on the other hand, the Balabas never identified which field they were going to be working on, so therefore, again, they have no idea whether the field is workable or not after the rainfall. So if they show up, then ultimately, again, the owner will be responsible to pay them. Granted, when we speak about payment in these type of circumstances, it's not full payment. It's what we call poel batel payment, but payment nevertheless. And we see, and ultimately, the balabas would be obligated to pay them like a poel batel, which are both, again, as we discussed yesterday. But Amar Rava, Rava said, Hai man da ogir agure ledavlo. So listen to this case. I go ahead and I hire workers. Rashi's ledavlo is lahashkos salos. These are all great cases. I go ahead and I hire a worker to irrigate the field. Lahashkos salos, to water the field. Va'asa mitra. So listen to this case. So I go ahead, I hire the worker to go ahead and irrigate the field. And Baruch Hashem, it rains. And Baruch Hashem for me, not to them. It rains. So I say, so what's the halacha? Meaning, do I have to pay them or not? So to which the Gemara says, Rava says, psida de Paulim. Ultimately, again, this is the quote-unquote loss of the Paulim. So we'll say, again, this is the loss because Lamais, again, I as the owner didn't change anything. The Metzias changed, and therefore they bear that loss. However, Asanara, we'll say, let's say the river overflowed its banks, and as a result, flowed into the field, watered the field. Look at Rashi. Asanara, Gadol Hanar va'alav nichnas becharitzin ha'asuin besadeh, umehen hishosa ve'inetz yichel adavla. The water overflowed its banks, flowed into the furrows in the field. What now? Psida de balabais. So we'll say, so this is interesting. This is now the quote-unquote, the loss of the balabais. V'yoyev lehu kipoa bottle, and he has to pay the workers like a poa bottle. Look at Rashi. Psida de balabais. The pollen inon yodin the minag sadehu shehe nar olahashkosa hu hayo yodea. So the assumption over here is the following: hired workers don't always know the rhythms and the patterns of the field. So they don't know that sometimes the river overflows its banks and irrigates the field that way. That's the responsibility of the balabas to make them aware of this. Now, as Rav said, what Rav is pointing out is that when you hire workers for a job, and there is the possibility that that job may be done by some other way, thereby obviate the employment of the people whom you are hiring, the responsibility is upon the balabas to point that out. So if I hire people to irrigate my field, and it's possible that sometimes the river does overflow its banks and irrigates the fields by itself, I, the balabas, have the responsibility to inform the workers about that. If I do not, and they show up for work, I am obligated to pay them. Again, remember, any time I'm obligated to pay someone for a job they didn't do, it's never at full cost. At most, it's going to be what we call kipoel batel. Remember again, just I'll define it once for today, but kipoel batel means essentially the amount of money that someone would accept to do a job that did not require any kind of strenuous labor. So for argument's sake, a job that requires labor, strenuous labor, or strenuous exertion costs you X. So we assume that people would accept a little less money not to have to exert themselves. That amount, that less amount, is called poel batel. V'amar Rava. We'll say these are all great cases. V'amar Rava. Rava says, Hai man de ogir agur ledavla. We'll say another case. I hire someone to go ahead and irrigate my field. Upasak nara bepal gadiyomas. We'll say, watch this. So now I hire workers to go ahead and irrigate my field. And what happens? The river stops flowing in the middle of the day. So obviously, if the river stops flowing, so I can't, the river dries up, and I can't go ahead and irrigate the field, obviously, with no water source. Ilo avid de pasik psida de poilim. So we'll say, if this is not a normal occurrence, then the loss is borne by the poilim, by the workers. Avid de pasik. So we'll say, what happens if it's normal for the river to dry up? So ibn a masa psida de poilim. If the workers live in the same general locale in which they are working, so they should know about the patterns of the river as well, so that it is their loss. Lav b'nei masa, but if they do not live in the city, in other words, so they have no idea about the patterns of the river or not, then what? Psida de balabayas. Then ultimately, again, we'll say that will be the loss of the balabas. Okay, we'll say, you can understand, by the way, these are all very lamaisa cases. I mean, the contemporary application of these cases is incredible. But Amar Rava, we'll say, so Rava is our man today. So Amar Rava, Rava says again, Hai man, do'agar aguri la'avidita, v'shalim avidita b'bhagdiyom. We'll say, listen to this case. I hire workers, this is really interesting. I hire workers to come to work for me for the day. So again, the lashon of the year is agar aguri means I rented them, I hired them, la'avidita, for work, for a job. V'sholim avidita b'pal gadiyoma. Now, originally, I hired them to do a job that it was going to be, I thought it was a day's job. It was a day's job. But it turns out that's what? They finished it in half a day. They finished it in half a day. So watch this. So remember now, the shayla is going to be what? The shayla is obviously, these workers are interested in getting a full day's pay. Now, the problem is, they finished the job that I hired them to do midday. So what's the halacha? If I have other work that they can do that is easier than the job for which I hired them, great. Inami, or even if it's not easier, but it's of the same intensity. In other words, if I hired workers to do a particular job, they finish that job. So they still want to work, they still want to get paid for the day. So I can give them other work, that is either the equivalent or less intense than the job I hired them for. Mm-hmm. However, dekasha mina lo mafkid luhu. I will say, I can't give them work that is more intense. I can't give them work, ultimately, again, that is harder. I can't give them work that is harder than the job for which I hired them. Then I give them a full day's wage. In other words, that if I hired them for the day, obviously I only have to pay them for the day if there's work for the day. So if they want the full day's wage, I tell them, listen, here's the deal. You did job A, I'll give you B. But again, they're only obligated to do B if B is of equal or lesser intensity than job A. So the Gemara says, Amai, v'leisiv lehu kepoel batel. But I don't understand, why don't they just pay them for the rest of the day like a poel batel? So the Gemara says, ki ka'amar Rava ba'achlushe de mechuza. Rava's talking about, what's it say? Ein hachinami. Under normal circumstances, if I hire someone for a day, I tell them, I'm hiring you for the day, and what? The job that I hired them for, they finish by midday. By midday. Seina chinami, under normal circumstances, I'm not obligated to go ahead and pay them the normal wage for the rest of the day. I just have to pay them kipoel bottle. What's the particular case over here? The case over here, Rabbi Osai, in Rava's case, is achlushe de mechuzah. Look at Rashi, achlushe de mechuzah. Be mechuzah shu'i rosha Rava. So mechuzah, which was the city ultimately of Rava. Hayu b'nei adam haregilim laseis masaos tamid. So we'll say ultimately, again, there were people who are porters, who would normally go ahead and carry packages the whole day. Ukishiyoshvin betelim kashlan. Abbas said, this is actually an incredible idea. So the porters of Mechuzah, it was detrimental for them to be idle. So it's detrimental for anyone to be idle. But Lemaisa, again, they were always used to carrying heavy packages. If they weren't, I guess, working their muscles, they would become weaker. So Ratzon Rav is talking about, if you hired some of the schleppers of Mechuzah for a particular job, and they finished the job midday, it was in their best interest to have some other work. So Rav was saying, you could give them work of equal or lesser intensity, but not of greater intensity, and then pay them the wage for the whole day. But for argument's sake, in a different situation, or if there was no more work, the halacha would be you would pay them kipoel bottle. So,
you say he's hired for the job or they hired for the day?
This was a case where they were hired for the job for the day. The assumption was the job was going to take a day. That was the assumption here.
But if he hired them just to do the job.
Right, then that case wouldn't come up, correct. And there was no time attached to it, then this would not be this case.
Done,
you get paid for the. Correct, correct. Says Gimbar Amamar, Shaman Lohenes Masha Asu. So most remember again, so we said before in the Brisa yesterday, that when the worker does the job, so we go ahead and we pay him for what he has done. So we'll say, now we're going back to talk about the cases where the workers walk off the job mid-job. So let's say they go ahead, they're working, and then they go ahead and they leave the job mid-job. So we pay them for the work they have done. Kate says, so we'll say, so what's the case? So we'll say, let's say, and remember, so let's say we're talking about a case where I hired the worker, we'll say, going back to yesterday, I went ahead and I hired the workers to go ahead and do the job for 8 dinar, for argument's sake. The worker did half of the job, so he did 4 dinars worth of work. Under normal circumstances, I would then like to hire workers for another 4 dinar to go ahead and finish the job. The problem is, the price of labor has gone up. It's now going to take me 6 dinar to go ahead and finish the job. So what's the halacha? No sein lahem sela. So ultimately, again, I give the... So we'll say, even though now it's going to cost me an extra 2 dinarim to go ahead and hire workers to finish the job, I can't pass that cost on to the worker who walked off the job. No sein lahem sela. I give them their 4 dinar for the job they did. Kasavi Rabbanon Yad Paul Al Ha'Elyona. Because it was said the Rabbanon hold, and this was the part that I, as I mentioned before, this is the part that I reversed yesterday, so we're going to write it today. The Rabbanon hold that ultimately, again, the worker always has the upper hand. The worker is never put at a disadvantage. Therefore, Rabbi Osai, in a case where the worker walks off the job, he is paid for the work that he did, and even if now the replacement of labor is going to cost me more money, I, the employer, bear that loss, and cannot pass that loss onto the employee. O yigmar malachton v'yitlu shnei slagim. So, also remember again, the Braisa said, or the worker could finish his job, and he should get the remaining 2 sela. The remaining 4 shkalim, right, for the job. To which Gemara says, pshita, meaning, I don't say, why do you have to say that? Because essentially what the Braisa was saying was like this. If the worker did half of the job, so he gets paid for half of the job. So now I have to hire someone else to go ahead and, do the work. So lemaisa, however, if the worker decides to return back to the job, so I have to pay him for the remainder of the job 2 sloim, meaning that was the contracted price. Which Gemara says pshita, that's obvious. To which Gemara says no. Lotzricha diyakar avidita. So also listen to this case. The case we're talking about over here is I hired a worker to go out and do a job for, we'll call it the 4 sloim. So what happens? He walks off after doing 2 sloim worth of work. What happens? After when he works off, the price of labor went up. The Imru Paulim. The Paulim withdrew from the job. Va'azo balabayesu paisinhu. The balabas comes and gets them to reconsider and come back to work. Ma'udetema matsu amri le. So we'll say, perhaps I would have thought when they come back to work, so they could say to the Baba boss, listen, when we came to work, when we came back, we agreed to come back at what? At the new higher rate of labor. Kamash Malon, no. Kamash Malon, the Amar Luhu, that the owner, the Baal HaBas, could say to them, Adaita de Tarachna Luhu Ba'achilu B'shtia. No, no, no. When I asked you to come back, I agree that there would be an increase in the package, but the increase in the package is not in the amount of money that you are going to get, but rather, again, I agree to provide you with food, with snacks and refreshments over the course of your work. So, Bosai, the Chiddush over here is, see, I would have thought that when the workers withdraw, and then if the Baal HaBas convinces them to come back, perhaps this is now governed by a new employment agreement. And if the price of labor went up, perhaps they are entitled to more money. Kamash Malon, no. Kamash Malon, they are still contracted at the same original price. And if anything, if the owner sweetened the pot, he sweetened the pot with secondary benefits, like food over the course of their work.
The worker has the upper hand.
That, well, I would think that because he withdrew. I would have thought the Havamina is, anytime workers walk off a job and then re-engage, this is a new contract. This is a new employment agreement. Kamash Malon, we view it as if they were in the middle of the job, and when they resume, they are resuming the previously agreed upon contract terms, I should say. Correct. Obviously, I will say, all of this is in the absence of renewed negotiation. If the owner said, I will pay you more money. Now, again, remember, when you get to paying more money, so that we'll discuss also. Those are cases where we see there are circumstances where you promise the workers the world in order to get them back on the job. That we'll see. But that's not this case. Sela no se lem sela. So, we'll remember again, if they did a sela's worth of work, so they get the sela. So, pshita, is that not obvious? To which the Gemara says, Lo tzricha dezal avidita me'ikara. Because we'll say, what's the case? The case over here is where labor was cheap in the beginning. Va'agrinhu b'tfezuza. But they were hired at a higher wage. Ulasof ayakar avidita. But then the price of labor went up. V'kam b'tfezuza. And now the price to go ahead and engage workers is more. Ma'al detema, what would I have thought? Amri le tefezuza amartalon. Tefezuze havlon. So we'll say, I would have thought the following. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is like this. If at the time when the employer, we'll call him, hired the workers, so already he overpaid for labor. So I would have thought that again, if he's the kind of individual that overpays for labor, when the price of labor then subsequently increases, perhaps again the workers, after they walked off and now re-engaged, should be able to say, listen, the same way you paid us above market then, you should pay us above market now. Kamash molo no. Do amr lehu, ki amr lehu tefezuza, de lo hava kim lehu. When I promised you more money then, lo kim lehu. What does this mean, lo kim lehu? Look at Rashi. First of all, look at Rashi, ma'u detemo. Hoyul l'rabonan yad pol al ha'yona, matzi amr lehu. So, remember again, so far, this is all dealing in the Shita of the Rabbanon. And the Shita of the Rabbanon are governed by the guiding light principle of Yad Poel Al Ha'al-Yonah. The worker always has the upper hand. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following, that if the employer hired the workers at a higher rate, in the beginning of a contract, more than the going rate for labor, so then what happens? When they withdraw and then he convinces them to re-engage, now we'll say, so what's happened over here? When he hired them, he overpaid them above market. Now, they withdraw, they do half of the work, they withdraw. He convinces them to come back. But now when they're coming back, actually what they're getting paid is actually market, right? Because the price of labor has gone up. So when they re-engage, they say to the Baal HaBas, listen, you have already demonstrated your willingness to pay us above market. Now it happens to be our wage is at market. Therefore, if we're going to come back, you should agree to what? To pay us above market as well. In other words, what they're saying is, and we're not even renegotiating terms. This is the same terms, just a different application of the same terms. Meaning, essentially, our contract was, you agreed to hire us to do work above market. Now, what you're paying us is at market, therefore you should agree to pay us more. And again, remember, the Havamina is that this should work, because Yad Paul Yon, the employee, has the upper hand. Look at Rashi, to which the Baal HaBas says, no. Lo kim luchu, Rashi says, lo hayisem yodim, sheti yiru'uyin litol sela, v'ani v'kach haya efshi liskor, V'ra'isi b'datchem shlo tisratzilu b'pachos misela v'amarti l'hosiv zuv aschar p'ula k'dei litol sela hashem ritzonchem. So the Baal Abbas says, to which I knew that at the end of the day, the only way I could get you to do some work was to go ahead and give you a bit more. But now that the price of labor has come up, has met your expectations, there is no din, there is no need for me to go ahead and pay you above market. Rashi says, hashta dekimluchu shakol nothan sela. Now what you're getting is the accepted price by everyone. Kirtzon chamal zos lo hisnesi lehosef. I never agreed to add on any more to this. Fine. On the Rabbosai, what the Gemara is suggesting is, even according to the Rabbanon who hold yat poel al ha'elyunah, you can't really, there's a limit to how much renegotiation ultimately the poelim have the ability to do when they walk back on the job. However, on the other hand, Rabbi Dosa Omer, shamin lohen masha asaleh asos, hayayafa shisha dinarim, no sin lohem shekel. So mostly Rabbi Dosa, on the other hand, says like this, that if workers did half a job and then walked off the job, so again, let's keep a simple case. The job was worth 4 sloim, was worth 8 dinar. 8 dinar, right? Two dinar to a sela. Was worth 8 dinar. So what happens? The workers did half of the job, 4 dinar. They now walk off the job. Now it's going to cost the Baal Abbas 6 dinarim to go ahead and find new workers. In other words, he now incurred another 2 dinar of expense. Rabbi Dosa says that 2 dinar is passed on to the employees who walked off. So essentially now, according to Rabbi Dosa, I don't have to pay those employees 4 dinar for the job done, rather just 2 dinar. So that's Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa says, Shamanahan Masha Asadehasos, we evaluate how much the rest of the job is going to cost. And for argument's sake, it's going to cost me 6 dinar to bring in new workers. No saying lohem shekel. I go ahead and I give the workers who walked away a shekel, and a shekel is 2 dinar. In other words, I subtract 2 dinar off their wage in order to pay for the increase in labor to finish the job. Kasavar, and I will say why. Kasavar yad pol ala tachtonim. So I will say bottom line. Machlokes Rabbi Dosa and the Rabbanon is who has the upper hand in labor disputes, right? So really, it's not really labor disputes. It's really is who has the upper. So I will say, well, we're going to talk about this in just a little bit. A worker always has the right to walk off a job. There's no such thing as an indentured servant when it comes to an employee contract. So a worker always has the right to walk off the job, and a worker always has the right to get paid for the work that was done, even if he walks off the job. The shaila is when there's a change in circumstances and now increased costs as a result of having to replace the labor, who bears that cost? According to the Rabbanon, it is the Baal Abbas who bears the cost. Why? Because, before we get to why, according to Rabbi Dosa, it is the workers who walked away who bear the cost. What's at the core of the machlokes? The core of the machlokes is who has the upper hand in employment agreements. According to the Rabbanon, it's Yad Paul al-Yomna, the worker has the upper hand. According to Rabbi Dosa, it's Yad, I'm sorry, just the opposite. According to Rabbanon, it's Yad Paul Al Ha'el Yona, the worker has the upper hand. According to Rabbi Dosa, it's Yad Balabayis Al Ha'el Yona. That's I'm phrasing it differently than the Gemara does, but it's the employer who has the upper hand. Okay, so just remember, that's the Machlokes. Now we're going to go through Rabbi Dosa. So remember again, in Rabbi Dosa's model, so either if I have to hire new workers and the workers cost more money, that loss or that additional money is subtracted from the first set of workers' salary. Or the other option is that the first set of workers could finish their job for the contracted price. In other words, I contracted them for 4 slum, they did 2 sellas worth of work, come back, finish the job, I'll give you the other 2 sella. So which is pshita, meaning that's not, why does the Braisa need to state that? That's obvious. To which the Rebbe says, no, I'll tell you why. Lotzricha dizala vidito. Oh, I will say, watch this case. The case over here is I hired these workers to do a job for slum. What happens? In the interim, meaning they did half a job to slum. Now, since they walked off the job, the price of labor went down. And the same job now could get done for less money. Ve'emar balabai, so we'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is, I hired the workers to do a job, midway through the job, I fired them. I pulled out. I said, thank you guys very much for your service. I'm going to hire some other guys because now I can get cheaper labor. What happens? Va'azul polim upaisu. Now the workers, we'll say this is a reverse case. In this case, the workers are coming to me, the balabas, and trying to convince me to what? to take them back onto the job. So I was, and I agree. And I agree. So ma detema, what would I have thought? Matzi amar lehu. Adaita debatsirasu li me'agroi. So I could have said to them, listen, when I took you guys back, I agreed to take you back at what? At a lower wage. It's true, I hired you back, or I took you back, but I agreed to take you on a lower wage. Kamash malon. You can't say that. The omri le adaita da'avidnan l'cha avidita shapirta. To which the Gemara says, no, because the Paul and the workers could fire back at me and say, listen, no, you took us back, and we understood that we were now getting a wage above market, and for that, we agreed to do for you even better work. In other words, they both say that even according to Rabbi Dosa, who says that Yad Paul ala Tachtono, let's phrase it in the positive, Yad Balabayis al ha'alyona, that the Balabas has the upper hand, he agrees that if I, the Balabas, withdrew from the employment agreement and then re-engaged them, I re-engaged them at the same original terms. And even if the price of labor went down in the interim, I still owe them the same amount of originally contracted money for the rest of the job. Said the Gemara, Sela no selam Sela. Similarly, again, if there was a Sela's worth of work left, I give them a Sela. Or if they did a seller's worth of work, I give them a seller. Pshita says, "Not obvious." I'm Rafuna Bered Rav Nasan. Lo tzricha da'ozilu inhu gabe zuza meikara. I will say, what's the case? The case over here is where the poalim, the workers, underbid the job from the beginning. In other words, they hired themselves out at a zuz under the normal price of labor on the open market. And then Rabbi say, at the end of the day, now when they're renegotiating, but ultimately again, when they walked away and they are coming back, the price of labor dropped as well, which means now that the actual price of labor on the market mirrors their original terms, meaning originally the price of labor on the market when they first contracted was higher than what they agreed to, but now the price of labor has gone down and it's the same amount. To which the Gemara says, "Ma detema, betzir zuza amrisuli." So maybe the Balabas could say, "You were originally willing to take less than the market price for labor." Betzir zuza yavinalachu. See, even now that the price of labor dropped, I'm going to drop your salary down even more. In other words, on both sides, what the Balabas is saying is you've demonstrated your willingness to what? To what? To work, to like less, to work, to take less, to work below market. So now the original wage that I gave you was below market then. Now the market price of labor has dropped even more. I want to reduce your salary more for the rest of this job. Kamash Malon, Dami Luhu, that they say to him, the workers say back to the Balabas, Kia Marna Lacha, Babat Yezuza, Tulahava Kim Lacha. Hashta kimlecha, to which the workers could ultimately say to the Balabas, the same thing that the Balabas said to them before, look at Rashi, hashta the kimlecha, ef shino bepachos mikan, shar besalan esratzes. So we'll say beforehand, they say, we're willing to go ahead and rent ourselves out cheaper to you. Because Lamaisa, again, you did not know the full value of our labor. Now that you do, we are unwilling to take less than the market price. So therefore, you cannot go to Rabosa and renegotiate the price for a lower amount, even though the price of labor on the open market has dropped. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amarav, halacha krabidosa. So Bosa Rav says, Talacha is like Rabbi Dosa, which again Rabbi Dosa means what? That Yad Paul ala Tachtona, Yad Valabais ala Alyona, that whenever there is some type of, whenever a worker walks off the job, and I will say, remember, this actually has many different ramifications and applications, but for our purposes today, what it means is that if a worker leaves the job mid-job, of course I have to pay him for the work that he's done, but if I have to hire new labor, and that labor costs more, that cost gets passed on to the employee who walked off the job. I could subtract those additional labor costs from the wages that I have to give him. That's how Rav says we paskin. Says the Gemara, "Mi Amar Rav Hachi, did Rav really say that?" V'amarav, Rav said, "Poel yachol lachzer bo afilu b'chatzi hayom." We'll say Rav said that a poel, a worker, always has the ability to walk off a job, even midday. In other words, we'll say an employee always has the right to say, I'm done. Always has the right to walk off a job. So, I'm sorry? So it says, Gemara v'chi teima, shayna v'rabi dosa, bein schirus lekablonos. So we'll say, one second. So now here's what you have to understand. The reason why that's a kasha is because what that sounds like is that a worker, an employee, always has the right to walk off a job and what? Get paid full wages for the work that he's done. which sounds like there is no penalty. If I'm working for someone, there is no penalty levied against me for walking off a job. Okay, obviously I'm not going to get paid for work that I didn't do, but for any work that I did do, I get paid. Which Rabbi Yossi seems to contradict Rabbi Dosa, because according to Rabbi Dosa, there is a scenario where what? Where I could walk off a job. Yes, I have the right to walk off. But if now the cost for replacement labor is more than what the owner had budgeted, I, the worker who walked off the job, I have to bear that loss. So that seems to go against what Rav is saying. In other words, Rav Rabose seems to be saying that a worker could walk off the job, get wages for work that was done with no additional penalties amounts levied against him. That contradicts Rabbi Dosa. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe, v'chi teima shenile Rabbi Dosa bein schirus l'kablanos. Oh, well, so now we see something very interesting. Maybe there is a distinction between what we call schirus and kablanos. So, what's look at Rashi. Schirus actually is a schir yom. A sochir, we'll say, is a hired worker. Worker is hired for the day. Look at Rashi. Shiny lei bein schirus l'kablanos. Last two lines. T'gabi schirus isa l'haytaima da'avodai haim v'lo avodim la'avodim. See, I will say, remember I mentioned before, if somebody is a hired worker, you can never prevent a person from walking off a job. What's the reason for that? Because preventing a person from walking off a job is a form of servitude. And therefore, again, the halacha is, Yibon Shalom says, you are my servant, Chodesh Baruch Hu says, but no servant to any other man. So that's why every single hired worker always has the right to walk off a job. And therefore, again, Ein ze eved el le'atzmo, Rabbi Dosa bekablonos mariki diktani kiblu kama liktzor. So we'll say, it could very well be the following. When Rav said that a worker could walk off a job, get paid for the work that was done, and not have to bear any subsequent costs, that's talking about a schir yom. That's talking about a day laborer. A day laborer. What Rabbi Dosa was saying, that lemaisa, again, if you walk off a job, you get paid for the job that you did, but if there are additional labor costs, you, the worker who walked off the job, have to bear the brunt of those labor costs, that's talking about a kablon. Both said, what is a kablon? A kablon is someone who gets hired to do a job, but there might be a time span attached to the job. In other words, I need this job done in a week, but I don't care if you go ahead and you work 3 days for 15 hours, or you go ahead and you work 7 days for X number, or 6 days for X number of hours. So that's called the kablon. So both said, the Gemara is suggesting over here, the ability to walk off a job, get paid for the work that you did with no further penalties, even if the price of labor goes up, that's by a schir yom. That's a day labor. Because also remember, think about it. If there are additional penalties, then that could potentially prevent the day labor from walking off the job. And anything that prevents the day labor from walking off the job is what? Is what? Is servitude. Is right? Is avdus. You can't do that. Rabbi Dosa's statement that a worker has to bear the cost, if there are additional labor costs, that's only dafka by a kablonos. To which Gemara says, mishayni lei, but is there a difference between schiros and kablonos? Vatanya, we learn, hasochres apol, but say, I hire a worker. Ulechatz yom shamash emes lames, and midday, nebuch, he heard that his loved one died, oshach zasocham, or he gets sick. Achzasocham means he gets a fever. He gets sick, and he can't work. Im schir yomu, but say, if he's a day laborer, no, sin lo scharo, but say, I go ahead and I pay him for the work done. Rashi says, no, sin lo scharo, hoil va'anusu, in the kanso v'la'asos yado ala tahtona, v'nosim v'chatzi dimeischa. So we'll say, obviously, I'm paying him for the work that he did. So I pay him for whatever work he did. Im kablonu, no sin lo kablonuso. And the ma'aseh, we'll say, same thing, if he's a kablon, I pay him for the work he did. So what do you see from here? Seems to be that the Brais is not drawing any kind of distinction between a schir yom and a kablon. Either way, if you do work, and for some reason you have to pull out, what's the halacha? You get paid for the work that you did. To which the Gemara says, money. We'll say, so whose opinion does this reflect? Ilim Rabbanon. If you want to say it's the Rabbanon, but remember again, the Rabbanon, right? The Rabbanon are like the union work, right? So the Rabbanon is Yad Paul Al HaElyona, worker's rights, right? The worker always has the upper hand. Why does the price have to be set up as a case where the worker heard that his loved one died or got sick? Donis, because we'll say the common denominator between losing a loved one and what? Getting sick is those are both extenuating circumstances. Rabosai, in the worldview of the Rabbanon, kilo anis nami. Rabosai, even if there is no extenuating circumstance, the Rabbanon hold that what? That a worker could just simply choose to work off a job. To walk off a job. Ha'am Rabbanon, yad pol al ha'elyono. Right? The most remember again, the Rabbanon hold, the worker always has the upper hand. And therefore, the halacha is, whether for an extenuating circumstance, or just because the worker doesn't want to do this job anymore, he has the right to walk off the job, get paid for the work that he did, and no penalties can be assessed against him. To which the Gemara says, rather it must be Elalav Rabbi Dosa. Rather it must be the rights reflects the view of Rabbi Dosa. Ushma mino lo sheni the Rabbi Dosa bein schirus the kablonos. And Abba said, what do you see? You see that Rabbi Dosa makes no such distinction between schirus and between kablonos. If that's the case, Abba said, the kasha that we raised before is still in effect. Because Abba, remember again, Rav said that the halacha follows Rabbi Dosa, therefore Yad Poel Ala Tachtona, the worker has to bear the cost of additional labor. Yet Rabbi said, we also know Rav also said that a worker could walk off a job at any point in time, get wages for work that was done, and not have any penalties levied against him. So the Gemara wanted to suggest, well, maybe it's two different things. Maybe one is a Schir Yom, maybe one is a Kablon. To which the Gemara says, but now what do you see? There are no distinctions between a Schir Yom and a Kablon. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Bedavar HaOved. Oh, Rav say, here we go. To which Rav Yitzchak said, what are we talking about over here? By Davar HaOved, Rav say, when something, Davar HaOved means something that ultimately, again, is a loss, is going to be a loss. Look at Rashi. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Liolam Shaini Leit. Umodu b'schir diyada al ha'alyona v'had dinakit oneis b'sakra filu rabbanan ami amilei di'ilo anis lohadar koshkin abidosa v'hamas nisin v'davara avadaskinan v'divrei ha'kol ena pol yachzvo. So we'll say, when we quoted this idea that ultimately if a worker walks off the job he will have to bear the loss, that's b'davara avad. We'll say everybody will agree, not just abidosa, that if the worker was involved in some type of time sensitive work, if he walks off the job, there is going to be a loss. In that kind of case, the worker is not permitted to go ahead and remove himself from the job. And if he does, and there are either losses or there are additional costs for labor, everyone would agree that what? That the worker who walked off the job is going to have to go ahead and pay for those costs. With every call. Tanan, kol mishani yadal tachtona, v'chol v'chol zeru yadal tachtona. So we'll say, we learned in the Mishnah, the Mishnah stated two principles, Rav Osei. Principle number one is called a Mishana. Anyone who changes the terms of the agreement, Yadu ala tachtona, he has the lower hand. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, Kala chozerbo, whoever goes ahead and reneges on the agreement, Yadu ala tachtona, has the lower hand. So, Bishlama kala Mishana, Yadu ala tachtona. So, Rav Osei, I understand the statement of whoever changes the agreement has the lower hand. The stam lan tanak Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi say we will see that ultimately again the stam Mishnah follows the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi say Rashi points out over here we're going to see Rabbi Yehuda tomorrow's daf. Ella kala chozer ba yadal tachtona lasuyemak. Rabbi say when we make this statement that whoever goes ahead chozer, whoever reneges on the agreement, yadu al tachtona has the lower hand lasuyemai. Rabbi say what case does this come to include? Lav la asuye poel ukid Rabbi Dosa. So we'll say it must come to include the case of a poel, of a regular worker, and it's what? And it's like the, and it's like it's, and it, it is mirroring the sheet of Rabbi Dosa. Because we'll say, remember again, what does Rabbi Dosa hold? Rabbi Dosa holds yad poel ala tachtona, that lamaisa again, if the poel chooses to renege on the employment agreement, and as a result there are additional costs involved, then what? Then lamaisa again. The mice again, it is the job of the poel to compensate the owner for the additional labor costs. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Dosa, Tarti Kamar. So we'll say, ultimately, again, Rabbi Dosa really says two things. Not a question, it's a statement. El Rabbi Dosa, Tarti Kamar. Rabbi Dosa, ultimately, again, really says two things. We'll say, what does that mean? In Rabbi Dosa's worldview, both a Schir Yom as well as a Kablon is Yodam Ala Tachtona. Right? In other words, when Rabbi Dosa says that when a worker withdraws, yado ala tachtona, he has the lower hand. According to Rabbi Dosa, that is true irrespective of the type of employment agreement. Whether that worker is a schir yom, whether that worker is a kablon, according to Rabbi Dosa, any time you are a worker and you withdraw, you have the lower hand. Which means, if there are additional labor costs associated with finishing the job, you, the worker, must bear those costs. However, watch this. Rav only holds like Rabbi Dosa in one case, and argues on Rabbi Dosa on the other case. In other words, that they both say, that's what? Rav holds like Rabbi Dosa in the case of a Schir Yom, but disagrees with Rabbi Dosa, Rav holds like Rabbi Dosa in the case ultimately of a Kablon, but disagrees with Rabbi Dosa in the case of a Schir Yom. The other possibility is, what does it mean when the Mishnah says, whoever reneges on the agreement has the lower hand, as we learned in our Braisa. What is the case of someone reneging on an agreement? We'll say, watch this. I sold my field to my friend for 1,000 zuz. We'll say, watch this. I sell my field to Reuven for 1,000 zuz. What happens? Reuven pays me 200 zuz. 200 zuz. So what happens? Bizman shemocher chozer bo, yad lokeach al ha'al yoma. So we'll say, if I now, as the seller, decide to go ahead and renege on the sale, right? Even though I got 200 zuz, the sale is not complete. Therefore, again, I could still choose to go ahead and renege on the sale. So what's talacha? Yad lokeach al ha'al yoma. And we'll say, so because I, the seller, am reneging on the sale, therefore the buyer has the upper hand. How does that upper hand manifest itself? The buyer has the ability to say, fine, either give me back my money, or give me 200 zuz worth of property. And also, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. If I'm selling land to Reuven for 1,000 zuz, he gave me 200 zuz. I, the seller, now decide to renege. Because I'm the one reneging, therefore, again, the victim, so to speak, of the reneging, which in this case is the buyer, ultimately has the upper hand. How does the upper hand manifest itself? He can either demand his money back, or he could demand land worth the amount of money that I gave him. To which the Gemara says, Mehechan Magbio, furthermore, again, from where does he collect this land? Min ha'idis. Ultimately, again, from my, I the seller, from my best property. When it is the purchaser was reneging, in other words, in this case over here, I sold Reuven land. He gave me 200 zuz for $1,000. He gave me $200. Now he decides to back out of the agreement. Yad mocha ala yona. Then Rabbi say, I, the seller, have the upper hand. How does that manifest itself? Ratsa omer lo helech ma'osecha. I could say, here's your money. Ratsa omer helech karka kenegin ma'osecha. Or I could say, here is land corresponding to the money he gave me. Mehechan magbio. And I will say, in a case where ultimately, again, it is the buyer who reneges, and I, the seller, have to refund either money or land, that's up to me. What kind of land can I give him? To which the Gemara says, Ziburis. I could give him even from the most inferior of my land. So I'll say, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Malandin osan shelo yachzeru. We teach people to engage in irreversible transactions. How do you engage in irreversible transactions? I'll say, watch this. Ketzad. Ko save lo. Ani ploni ben ploni machati sada plonis la ploni. Bela zuz. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, we teach people to write a shtar. I'll say, what does it say in the shtar? I, Silber, have sold Reuven a field that is worth 1,000 zuz. Venosan lima hemasayim. He has given me a down payment of 200 zuz. Vahareini nosha bo ches meos zuz. And I will say, the remaining money, 800, is hereby a debt that he owes me. So I will say, you see, in the previous case, the way the Gemara was operating is, I sold a field to Reuven for 1,000 zuz. And what happens? He gave me 200. What's the status of that 200? What's the status? Nothing. The transaction is not completed until I get my full 1,000 zuz. He's paying me off in increments, but the transaction is not complete. Because the transaction is not complete, that's why either of us have the ability to renege. You shouldn't renege. Whoever reneges is at a disadvantage, but there is a possibility to back out of the transaction. Whoever backs out has the lower hand. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I'll tell you, you should structure transactions in a way that's what? They're done. View the 200 as the down payment and convert the remaining 800 into a debt owed from buyer to seller. Now, as Rabbi say, that the transaction has been affected by the giving of the 200. The remaining 800 is simply a debt owed from buyer to seller. But what? The payment of that 800 is not necessary to affect the transaction. The transaction itself is done. Therefore, neither can renege. And I will say, whatever the terms of the repayment for the 800, whatever those terms are ours, even if it takes Reuven a couple of years, a number of years, to pay me the debt, so be it. We'll say, let's just do a few more lines. So remember again, we said before that in the event that I, the seller, renege on the agreement, so the buyer has the right to either take his money or to take 200 zuz worth of property. And where does he take the 200 zuz worth of property from? From the idis, from the best of my property. So do we assume that this is talking about the idis, the best property of the mocher, of the seller? But why should this individual be any stronger than a balchov, than a creditor? Utnan, balchov dino bebeinonis. And we'll say, what did we say before? We have said earlier that a balchov is only entitled to take beinonis. Is only entitled to take kind of average property. Va'od, furthermore, va'od ha'ara diyohev zuzi. Furthermore, again, we'll say, why don't we say ultimately again that he could pay him back with the very same land, with the chilek of the very same land that the purchaser originally wanted to buy? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak me'idis sheba umizibur sheba. So Rav Nachman says something very interesting. When we say idis and ziburis, what are we referring to? We're referring to the idis and ziburis of the very parcel of land that was originally the subject of the sale. In other words, both say, I'm selling a piece of land to Reuven. What the Gemara is saying over here is the following. If I, the seller, cancel the sale, then what? Then Reuven has the right. Reuven, the purchaser, has the yadalion. He has the upper hand. He could either ask for his money back, or he could ask an idis section of the land that I was going to someone else. He doesn't have a claim against the rest of my property. His claim for real estate is only on the piece of land that I was going to sell him. If I choose to renege on the sale, then what? He has the right to take a slice of idis from the property I was going to sell him, but no claim against the rest of my property. Rav Achabri Drav Ikamri Afilu Teima Meidis Dinechasav. Which Rav Ika says no. He could even, meaning the purchaser, could even take from the idis of the rest of my property. I'm the seller. Why? Because which the Gemara says Staman de Zabin Ara Ba'alfa Zuze Azule Mosel Umaz Bin Nechase Vahavile Kinezak. Because we're supposed to listen to this. The assumption is, when a person wants to buy an expensive piece of real estate, what do they have to do? They have to liquidate some of their assets. Or if I want to buy land, I want to buy a real piece of land, I have to liquidate some of my assets. I will say, often in order to liquidate your assets, what do you have to do? You often have to sell them at a discount in order to liquidate them quickly. So we'll say, the Gemara is making the assumption over here that when Reuven wanted to buy this piece of land from me for 1,000 zuz, that's a lot of money. Presumably, what did he have to do? He had to liquidate other assets. Because he had to liquidate other assets, he had to sell other assets below market. Because of that, I will say, v'havile kinizak. Therefore, when I renege on the sale, I am viewed as a mazik. Therefore, he is entitled to quote unquote damages. Utnan hanizakin shama lahen beidis. And I will say, because it is a nezik case, therefore, again, when it comes to nezik cases, ultimately, again, the damaged party, the victim, is permitted to take from the idis, ultimately, of the damages. So we'll say, so two different versions in this case. When I contract to sell with Reuven, and I renege on the sale, he gave me 200 zuz, I renege on the sale. So everyone agrees that he's entitled to get back his money. How is he entitled to get back his money? Either, again, from the actual money, I can refund the funds, or I can refund land. The price is, I have to give him idis. What does it mean to give him idis? So first version is, I give him an idis slice, from the piece of property that I was going to sell him. Second possibility is that, no, I'm a mazik. Because the assumption is that for him to go ahead and buy this piece of property, he had to liquidate other assets below market. Therefore, by reneging on the sale, I have caused him financial damage. I am a mazik, and because of that, he's actually entitled to take idis from the rest of my properties as well. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up at the Judas Tamir Tashem tomorrow.